Welcome to Living Free Today, a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship, San Lorenzo, California. Today's message is entitled, The Reformation, Grace Alone, from the books of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and the book of Psalms chapter 106, verses 1 through 12. This message was first preached on January 15, 2017. We hope you enjoyed this message by Dr. Michael Wilson.
500 years ago, in 1500s, you only had one choice, pretty much, if you wanted to participate in the Christian community, and that was the Roman Catholic Church. There were little pockets of Orthodox, but Catholic Church ruled the world from a religion standpoint back then. And Martin Luther was a monk in the Roman Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church started a program where if you died, whether you were a moral person or whether you had great sin in your life, if you claimed to be a Christian and you died, you would go to a place called purgatory. And if you paid money to the Catholic Church, the relatives that were in purgatory would spend less time there. So you could buy off God through something called an indulgence. Martin Luther felt that this was wrong because it didn't match with the Bible. And he had the view that it is Scripture alone in our relationship with God, that if we think God is doing something or acting a certain way, and the Bible does not talk about it or point us in that direction, then we really need to look at that belief and understand why we believe that. And because he couldn't find indulgences or purgatory or anything like that in the Bible, on October 31st, 1517, he nailed 95 discussion points, 95 theses, to the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church. And that started what we know today as the Protestant Reformation, the split of protesters or Protestants from the Catholic Church. We as Baptists are part of the Protestant group. Way back, the Baptists were formed out of people who left the Catholic Church. Catholic Church also has something, and they still have this today, and they're called sacraments. And your sacraments are things like communion, marriage is a sacrament, baptism is a sacrament, going to confession is a sacrament. And what these do is the basic teaching is that they say, okay, Christ saved you. They don't have a problem with that. You can go down the street to St. John's and talk to the priest there, and you say, am I saved by Christ? And he'll say, absolutely. But what happens after that is a difficulty because they believe, and different priests will put different weight on this today, that you have to earn favor with God. That God will save you, but he doesn't like you very much. And to get him to like you, you got to do stuff. You got to earn it. You got to earn him liking you by going to confession, by taking communion, by being married in the Catholic Church, by doing these things that put a little bit of holiness in you, and then God will like you all the more. Martin Luther looked at this and said, that makes no sense. Because if I am saved by Christ alone, Christ and nothing, only Christ is the saving effectiveness on the cross that gets me into heaven, then why am I then starting at zero once I accept Christ? And that brings us to the third of the five onlys, and that is grace alone. Martin Luther reasoned that if all this was a gift, and as we read in Ephesians 2, and Martin Luther had a copy of Ephesians, he could read it. I mean, 1500s, the Bible was being printed on a printing press by that time. And so you could get a copy. His copy was in German and Latin. But it still said grace, and it still said grace three times in that passage, and we're saved by grace. And he said, if I'm saved by grace, then I must be living by grace. And to be saved by grace and lived by works makes no sense. Why would God do that to his children? Why would God make us work for his love? In many ways, the sacraments are that. And so for us to look at grace and the depth of what it is in our salvation, we need to look at two parts. Grace is a compound word, if you will. And the first means that it is absolutely 100% free. Something comes to you by grace. Now, grace is like a truck. Grace is a conveyor belt. It brings things to you. Grace does not save you. The saving work of Christ is brought to you by grace. Grace, anything that is in the grace package, 100% absolute free. Free, free, free. Not free and 10 cents. 100% free. Not free and I pray a lot. Not free and I go to church every Sunday. Not free in anything. It is 100% free. I add nothing to it. I do nothing to increase its value. I do nothing to decrease its value. In many ways, when God sends us grace, I am a passive participant because it is all God's work. It is all God's free gift. And the second part is the part that we as Americans don't like at all. And that is, you don't deserve it. It's a gift that comes that you don't deserve. See, we like things that are free in America, but we want to deserve them. I want to get free stuff because I'm such a great person. I want to get free stuff because I live in a particular state or belong to a particular family or have a particular job or voted a certain way. And many, 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 if not all of the protests for social programs that go on have this view. They want free stuff because they deserve it. And so in our world today, we have substituted grace for justice. And watch the news, watch the protests that go on every once in a while about social programs. They will always say, we want justice. Nobody is asking the government for grace. Everybody is asking the government for justice. What does justice mean? Justice means you get what you deserve. That's all justice means. If you're bad, you get punished. If you're good, you get rewarded. You get what you deserve. And because we have such a high view of ourselves these days, because especially people who do not know Christ think that they're just, you know, the cat's whiskers, they're the greatest thing out there, and therefore they deserve all of this stuff, because at our core, and the theology of the world is, at our core we are basically good. And if we're basically good, I need to get good stuff because I deserve it and it needs to be free. But God says no. God says you don't want justice from him, because God knows every thought, every foible, everything we would call a mistake, everything we would call an oversight, all these things are sin. And one little sin in God's justice economy means that he can send you for eternity into hell. One little sin, one little lie, stealing one penny from your mother's purse when you were young, whatever you do that is a sin, all it takes is one sin and you're lost for all eternity. And if you read the book of Revelation, as they start opening the seals and blowing the trumpets and pouring out the bowls, these are seals and trumpets and bowls of justice, because people are finally getting what they deserve, all those who have fought against God for years and years and years. And so when Christ came, he said, I'm not offering justice because what you deserve is inconsequential. Because of God's love for you, what you deserve is not on the table anymore. You will get grace 100% free, and it's not what we deserve. The last thing a holy God is going to give a person who deserves punishment is salvation through his son on a cross. And so it can't be justice. It has to be grace. And so we don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to have our prayers answered. We don't deserve to have a Christian community. We don't deserve to be a part of this church because at our core we are not basically good. At our core we are basically sinful and rebellious against God. And so when it says we are saved by grace, we are saved in such a way that it is free and absolutely free. Can't add anything to Christ, can't add anything to the cross. It's free and it's undeserved. And the point of that is we are supposed to then return to God with such love and worship, because grace is such an insane thought to modern society. You don't find people demanding grace because they want what they deserve, because they think they're doing okay. And so when you have saved freely and we don't deserve it, we then go into a process of sanctification. And sanctification is the lifelong process of God making us holy, is God making us like Christ. And so if you live this long, you're saved here and your sanctification on earth is about that much. And then when you are glorified, when Christ comes again or you pass on into heaven, then the other 99.999% of the sanctification is done instantly and you become like Christ. So what we have down here on earth is a taste. But it is a making holy, it is a sanctification process. We are growing, we are learning. And all of that is by grace. Because it's free through the Holy Spirit. And the last thing we deserve in our relationship with God, even when we're saved, is for Him to grow us and take care of us and make us better people in His kingdom. Now, in the Protestant view, we have baptism. We do baptisms every once in a while, and we do communion once a month. The next one is on February 5th. And these are not sacraments. They don't make you better. What we say as Protestants is that these are means of grace. Now, what is a means of grace? Let's say that I go out and I have two flat tires in my car. And I go, I must need new tires. So I have the tow truck tow me to Baskin-Robbins. And I go into Baskin-Robbins and I say, I want two new tires. And they say, is that be a sugar cone or a regular cone? They don't know how to answer that because they don't have tires. But yet if I want a really double chocolate fudge sundae, I'm not going to go to Orchard Supply Hardware because their ice cream selection is really lacking there. You need to go where things are, where you want them. And if you want education, you go to a school. And if you want groceries, you go to a grocery store. God is distributing and pouring out grace all over the place and in specific places. If you are saved, you can sit at home and God is showering you with grace, just sitting there, because you are His child and you are in His family and He's moving you along the sanctification path. But where does God give the river of grace. So where is God pouring out grace? These are what we call the means of grace. And communion is one of them. Communion, when you come to communion, you will get a bit more grace than you would if you were sitting at home on Communion Sunday. If you partake in what God has commanded us to do, the remembrance of the cross of Jesus Christ, you will get a tad more grace than if you did not participate. Now, what's being delivered during that grace? The best way to describe it is spiritual blessings. Now, what's a spiritual blessing? One good list is in Galatians 5, starting in around 20. It's the fruit of the Spirit: your love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That these are things we want in our life. These are things that come from God. And the way it seems to work, and people even now, 500 years after the Reformation, are still trying to figure out the whole idea of means of grace, but the Bible seems to indicate it and seems to show that God will work more in your life if you're in a church setting than if you're at a work setting, than if you're partaking in communion than if you ignore communion. And what people have said is, the more that they get involved in church and the things of church and communion, and they're baptized when they believe and things of this nature, that what used to be a struggle, perhaps faithfulness, they were a flake. But just being involved with church people, they find as the years go by, they're a lot more faithful. They're a lot more self-controlled. There is a lot more peace, because we cannot work to become more faithful. We cannot work to become more self-controlled. It must come from God, freely and undeserved through grace. And so we need to participate in the things of God. We need to participate in what God has laid out in Scripture that Christians do. And so you read your Bible, you go to church, you participate in communion, and you pray. Pray is a great way to increase the grace volume of God into your life. Because when you pray, you are opening yourself up to God. You are putting yourself in the presence of God. And one question we have to ask then is, can you pray for grace? You can, because I see people do it all the time. I've read prayers that people have printed in books of old and in Facebook of new, in which people are praying for grace for particular people or for their own life. And I suppose you can do that. I've never prayed for grace. I don't know. I think it just kind of comes. But you can do it, but make sure you're not deal-making. Make sure you're not telling God, I've gone to church 5 times in a row, therefore, hit me with that grace. Not free, and you don't deserve it. So it has to be something that we don't work for. It has to be something that we don't convince God. And so deal-making in our prayers, a quid pro quo, the foxhole conversion that is so famous, that you pray to God, if you get me out of here, I will serve you in this way, this way, and this way. God is not a deal maker. God is a God of grace. And He will never respect any deal you make with Him unless that deal has already been made in Scripture. One deal that is made in Scripture is believe in Jesus Christ, confess Him, accept Him, and you're saved. That's a deal that God's going to stand with for all eternity. And all we do is believe. And if you take the order of things in Scripture, that belief is all part of grace too, is that I couldn't believe without God giving me some level of grace. And so, what do I pray for instead of grace? I pray for mercy. I think mercy is more specific when people are hurting. A friend of mine has two children, and they had oral surgery to remove all their wisdom teeth, both on the same day. Get it over with. And I would pray mercy on them because that hurts and it's nasty, and I would pray healing, but mostly that God would look at their situation and not give them what they deserve, but give them mercy and kindness and make it all better, as I know they will recover. But we can still pray for it. And so these things that we do to get closer to God, they are called spiritual disciplines. There are things that I do to make myself better at my work. Back when I was a computer programmer, I would read books and I would practice and I would do computer disciplines because as the work grew, I wanted to be able to rise up and meet the demand. And in the same way, we are in a program with God. And that program is a program of sanctification. And our part is what is called spiritual disciplines. We pray, we read our Bible, we participate in communion, we hang out with other Christians at things like Birthday Sunday and the Ladies' Luncheon. That's called fellowship. And in doing those things, God is growing you in sanctification from the inside out. But you'll say, wait a minute, doesn't that mean I'm earning something? The answer is no, because your spiritual disciplines are never good enough to earn anything. Whatever we do is always sourced in God, and I would not be a prayer warrior if not for the Holy Spirit driving me to do that. I would not be a biblical scholar if it were not for the Holy Spirit driving me to do that. Because in my own undeserving sinful nature, I don't want to know about God. I don't want to be close to God. I want to be close to me. And I want to be selfish, and I want to be proud, and I want to be all these things. But God is steering me. And one of the things that, other than the fruit of the Spirit, is you look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says that we are to renew our minds, but I know that I can't renew my mind. It must be the Holy Spirit doing it. The more I do things with God and the people of God and for God, the more my mind is renewed, my thinking changes, and I begin to see what God is doing in my life. I begin to, as one theologian said, I think God's thoughts after Him. I am not being anything other than what God leads me to be as I renew my mind. And people have talked about, and we're talking about on Tuesday, but how do you hear God, and how do you get God to you know, say what's going on? And for me, it has always been my thoughts, is that I will begin to think things and I'll say, that's weird. Why did I think that? And I believe, I'll find out when I get there and ask, but I believe that's God putting thoughts in my head because I am working on renewing my mind and being saved for as long as I have and having the education I have. I believe my mind is being renewed. And everybody can do this. Everybody can have this because you don't have to make it work. You don't have to earn it. You just have to show up and participate in spiritual disciplines. And when you do those, the Holy Spirit will renew things from the inside out. The world is all about behavior modification and change things from the outside. God is all about rebuilding the person from the inside out. That's why the Holy Spirit indwells you and doesn't encircle you. The Holy Spirit is not beating you up from outside. The Holy Spirit is slowly, meticulously, perfectly changing you from inside. And so our relationship with God is not one of deal making. It is not one of I do this, you do that. It is not one of I'll pray five times this week and then you're going to get me a new car. That's not how God works. If it is all by grace, then it is all free, and it is all something I don't deserve, which means when I come to Him in prayer, I don't bring my works. When I come to Him in prayer, I don't bring how great I am. I don't try to convince Him of things. Instead, I praise Him, I worship Him, and I bring my requests humbly because I know He loves me. And the answers to my requests are free and undeserved. And so I am saved by grace, and I live by grace, and my life, every moment of every day, will be by grace. And so we stand by Ephesians 2:8, which says, "For by grace have you been saved, through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Let us pray. God Almighty, I just praise you that you have set up a system whereby we can get into relationship with you, but it is a gift from you. It is an undeserved gift from you. And Lord, we just praise you that you have taken the time and the love to do this for us. We praise you that you are a God who cares for us, who grows us from the inside out, and who is interested in everything that we do every moment of every day. Lord, we praise you for that, and we ask your blessing upon the remainder of the day. We ask this in the blood of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Free Today. This has been a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship located at 180 Llewellyn Boulevard, San Lorenzo, California, 94580. Email us for more information at info@livingfreetoday.org. Our website is www.livingfreetoday.org. Our telephone number is 510-278-2622. If you're looking for a church, come visit us on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. for Bible study and at 10:45 Sunday morning. God bless you as you live daily in His presence. This has been Deacon Luis Ramazzini, Living Free Today.